Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, believers whom I love, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Jeremiah 15:16. When your words came, I did eat them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. Jeremiah 15:16. Proverbs 24:3. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Proverbs 24:3. Psalm 56:3. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 56:3. And 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to the book of James, chapter 3, verse 8. James chapter 3, verse 8. We're glad to see all of you here this evening. We're going to change our presentation just a little bit tonight. We have been looking at James chapter 3 over a period of time. We come down to verse 8 and we spent a little time there. We're going to deal with a subject tonight, good things to remember. Good things to remember. And what I'd like to do is to emphasize tonight, don't stop living before you die. Think about that. Don't stop living before you die. Another thing I would like to emphasize tonight is don't retire from spiritual activity. In other words, I believe that we have presented to us beautifully in this passage of Scripture that we all are growing older, and as we grow old, we're not to be characterized by an unruly tongue. And the emphasis also in this verse is we're not to be characterized by anything that relates to death-dealing poison. That's kind of a crude statement, death-dealing poison. But we'll see that in just a few moments when we look again at James 3, 8. Our purpose for being here tonight is to study God's Word, to grow faithfully in His Word. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our reading and our study for this evening. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice in the fact that we're your children, saved by your matchless grace. We have many wonderful opportunities in life. The opportunity which we have tonight again is to advance spiritually, to grow in grace of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. We're thankful that you've saved us by your grace. We have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. This is not because of anything we've done, other than the fact we've accepted God's gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of our having accepted Him and He's accepted us, we have the assurance that one day we shall leave this life, we shall be in His presence forever and ever. We're thankful for eternity. We know that eternity is a mighty long time. It never ends. And when we leave this life as a believer in Jesus Christ, we go into His presence, and we're there forever and ever. And we're thankful that we can spend a few years on the earth so that we can make proper preparation for that time when we shall depart from this life. So help us to major on the major things of life and minor on the minor things of life while we're here. We know that we can give time to a lot of very insignificant matters, or either we can focus our time upon those things which are real and lasting and eternal. And so in these moments we're studying your word tonight, help us to turn our attention away from the things of the world and focus our minds upon those things which are eternal. We thank you for the fact that you give to us grace by which to live every single day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're reading James chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a complete, perfect individual, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Behold, the ships also, though they are great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. James chapter 3, verse 5. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue, verse 6, is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and of birds and of reptiles, creatures of the sea, tamed, and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. It's always amazing to me, not only what adults say in life, but what children say. Some kids were visiting a retirement center, a retirement old folks home, and they were going to have a little session. So they brought from the various rooms the people from the old folks home. They moved them in by wheelchairs. They moved them in on crutches. They moved them in on walkers. These little children were quite amazed as they looked at these people coming in to the classroom there. And one of the little girls looked at one of the elderly ladies and she said to her, "How old are you?" To which the lady responded very quickly, "I'm 98 years of age." And the little girl's eyes got real big and she said, "Did you start with one?" It's hard for us to believe how fast old age can sneak up on us. And for many, aging is dreaded because it can mean loneliness, physical decline, and sometimes reduced activity. One man was sitting in a nursing home and someone asked him, "What do you do now that you're retired and in the nursing home?" He said, "I just sit and think and sit and think. And sometimes I just sit." Growing old doesn't mean we have to give up. In fact, the worst thing that can happen to any one of us, no matter how old or young we are, is stop living before we die. History records that many people made their greatest contributions in life after the age of 65. Benjamin Franklin was 70 years of age when he helped author the Declaration of Independence. Hudson Taylor was still opening new mission work in Indochina at the age of 69. When you go to the Old Testament, you will discover that there's a man there by the name of Caleb, age 85. He was asking for more territory to conquer. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that simply getting old is a recipe for uselessness. I read some interesting stories about old people or older folks. I was interested in knowing what the Bible says when a person really becomes old. Some of you may want to know that, and I'll get to that in a few moments. But I want to read a story or two that I felt was quite interesting. Every year, Smitty and his wife Martha went to the state fair. And every year, Smitty would say, "Martha, I'd like to ride in that there airplane this year." And every year Martha would reply, "I know you'd like to do that, Smitty, but that airplane ride costs $10, and $10 is $10. Well, this one year, Smitty and Martha went to the fair, and Smitty said, "Martha, I'm now 71 years old. If I don't ride that airplane this year, I may never get another chance." Martha replied, "Smitty, That there airplane ride cost $10, and $10 is $10. The pilot overheard. He said, "Folks, I want to make you a deal. I'll take you both up for a ride. If you can stay quiet for the entire ride, not say a word, I won't charge you. But if you say one word while we're flying, I'll have to charge you $10. They agreed to that. The two of them got in the airplane. The pilot performed all kinds of twists and turns, rolls and dives, but not a word was heard. He even did a nosedive, pulling up 15 feet above the ground. Still not a word. Then they landed, and the pilot turned to Smitty, and he said, "By golly, I did everything I could think of to get you to yell out, but you didn't." Smitty replied, "Well, I was going to say something when Martha fell out. But $10 is $10. Oh, my. Two old guys were playing tennis. At one point, the ball rolls into some bushes, and when the player went down to retrieve it, he was confronted by a frog claiming to be a beautiful princess who has been turned into a frog by a mischievous wizard. If the player will kiss her, the frog assures him, she will revert to her natural princess state and marry him, and they'll both live happy ever after." Well, the player got the frog, put it in his pocket. He went back to his game. After a bit, the frog inside the player's pocket croaks, "Sir, sir, did you forget about me? I'm this beautiful princess, turned into a frog. If you'll kiss me..." And went to go on talking, and the guy said, "Dear lady frog, I will be completely honest with you. I've reached the age at which I would rather have a talking frog than a new wife." Most of you have heard this one, but I've got to tell you before I get into this subject tonight. There were three sisters who lived together, 92, 94, and 95. The oldest went upstairs one evening to take a bath. As she was getting into the tub with one foot in and one foot out, she called down to her sister below and said, "Am I getting in the tub or am I getting out of the tub?" The 94-year-old decided to go upstairs to see if she could help figure out the situation. She got to the third step and stopped. Then she called out, "Was I going up the stairs or was I going down the stairs?" The 92, the young lady, was sitting at the kitchen table. She thought she'd better knock on wood. And she knocked on the kitchen table. She said, "I hope I never get as bad as my sisters." Then she said, "Was that the front door or the back?" I've decided that sometimes preaching calls for us to have a little fun. And so I wanted to do that tonight before I got into what I consider a very serious subject. However old or young you are tonight, I want to tell you something. God has a plan for your life and mine. It matters not whether you are a junior, if you're an adolescent, a senior, a youth, whatever the situation is, God has a plan for mankind. And that plan includes childhood, adolescence, youth, middle age, and old age. God has a purpose and a design for you and me being here. Old is really a term of time. I found an interesting passage. That passage is in John 21:18. Let me read it to you, and you just listen carefully. "I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Now that's what John 21:18 says. As I analyzed that, I came to the conclusion that I need to see what it really says in other translations. The New Living Translation says, "I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself, you went wherever you wanted to go. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands, and others will dress you and take you where you do not want to go." And then I looked up the English translation. "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted to walk. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." Now, I don't know whether you've noticed this or not, but I noticed it. In that first passage, it says, someone will come along and dress you and lead you. The second passage says, someone is going to come along in your old age and dress you and take you where you do not necessarily want to go. And the third one that I read said, when you get old, you will stretch out your hands. You will stretch out your hands, and someone will come and dress you, and they will carry you where you do not want to go. And I noticed all three translations had a different word. One was lead you, one was take you, and the other was carry you. I'm convinced that the Bible says a lot about youth, middle age, and old age. I believe that the passage of Scripture that we've been studying about the tongue tells us that we are to grow old and not to be characterized by an unruly tongue. Because it says it is death-dealing poison. My question is, what does the Bible say about when a person becomes classified as old? Some of you may know. Some of you may not be aware of the fact that the Bible does have something to say. Well, I have to tell you that when I found this, I realized that I'd passed that time a good long while ago. I found the scripture that tells me when old age begins. You may want to look it up. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. What's amazing to me is that this passage of scripture says some things that I think we need to know about older people and our attitudes toward people who are older. It says, "Do not sharply rebuke an older person, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers." If you're turning in your Bibles, let's go to 1 Timothy 5, verse 1, and follow down through those verses. "Do not sharply rebuke an older person, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, to the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity." When you go to 1 Timothy 5, verse 3, it says, "Honor widows who are widows indeed. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in the entreaties and prayers night and day. But she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead even while she lives. Prescribe these things as well, so that they may be above reproach. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, if you want to know how old you are when you become old, you look at verse 9. Let a widow be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man. Now, I want you to know that I didn't write this. This is not original with me. I'm reading it from the Bible. And the Bible says old age begins at 60. You can look upon yourself tonight. It's your particular age, and you can weigh it in the light of what this verse says. Old age begins at 60. You must also remember that God has a plan for you because you're still alive. You were able to get into this auditorium this evening, which simply means that you're still breathing and your heart is still ticking. And that assures me that God has a purpose for your life and mine, or we wouldn't be able to do that. The third thing that I mentioned to you is the Bible has something to say about old age in times of warfare, when invading armies are coming to destroy, when invading armies are coming to torture and kill or starve. Many times they starve people who are older. When you go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 50, it says that there's no respect for older people. When you go to 2 Chronicles 36, 17, it says that there's no compassion for older people. I think it's very sad when that is the characteristic of an individual's life. Oftentimes people mistreat and abuse older people. And this should never be done, especially by anyone who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, anyone in this auditorium tonight. In warfare, when invading armies come to destroy and torture and kill, oftentimes older people will be the recipients of no compassion, no love, and no respect. Could I share with you tonight some things about the problems that older people face? I think it's necessary for me to do this. Number one, oftentimes older people become what we would classify as unteachable. That is not always true, but sometimes that is true. I'll go back to the book of Ecclesiastes. It's very interesting when you go to the book of Ecclesiastes, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Well, I'm going to get it right in a minute. Proverbs, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon. Help me now. Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 13. What does Ecclesiastes 4:13 says? It says, oftentimes older people are not willing to learn. That's not true of you, I'm sure, but it's true of some people. Ecclesiastes 4:13. I had marked it and then I have misplaced it, but it's Ecclesiastes 4:13. The second thing that I mention here is often people are helpless in their older age. And that's what I read for you in John 21:18. The third thing is older people are more susceptible to disease. 1 Kings 15:23 says, Asa, king of Judah, had some problems, and his problems related to his feet. People have problems in relationship to various aspects and parts of their body. But 1 Kings 15:23 says, Asa, king of Judah, had some problems with his feet. The fourth thing I notice is older people are oftentimes security conscious. Psalm 71:23. Number five, I notice if a person neglects Christian advance, then old age will be a time of the dullness of mind. Now let me stop right there to tell you, it's important for us to use our minds. I've written this out so that I could share it with you this evening. It's very important that as we grow older, that our thinking be proper. The thing that motivates and empowers and strengthens and causes a Christian to be happy in life is what we think. So if we grow old gracefully, thinking properly, if a person is thinking worldly, earthly, human thoughts, they're wide open to satanic influences and evil infiltration. They can only see life from a horizontal viewpoint. But a person who loves God and loves His Word and grows old day by day gracefully, that person will be able to see things from a vertical viewpoint, God's vantage point. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your burdens upon the Lord. He will sustain you." 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon Him, He cares for you." Philippians 4:7 says, "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall garrison your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." A beautiful passage of Scripture. Philippians 4:7. It says, the irony, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall garrison, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Could I say to all of you today, no matter how young or old you are, if you're thinking properly, you're going to have the thinking that honors God. And you're going to continue to advance in age with the ability to think properly. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When you go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Deuteronomy 6, 5. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the Colossian believers, he said, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek continually those things which are above. Set your affection on the above things and not on the things of the earth." Set your affection on means keep thinking about the upward things. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And John 15:12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." I'm sure that you would agree with me tonight that the Christian way of life is determined by our thinking. Our thinking is determined by our relationship with the Lord and His eternal message. I also believe that an undisciplined person in younger life can become a very undisciplined, miserable person in old life. A person who doesn't know how to live in old age will abuse and misuse time by griping, complaining, fault-finding, gossiping, prying into other people's affairs, and they will have self-pity, maliciousness, viciousness, will be slanderous, pernicious, and even persnickety. I like that word. Persnickety. Now, I had to work a long time to get that word for you folks. Someone would say, "What does persnickety mean?" I thought you'd never ask. It means downright fussy. And you know what? Some people grow old, and they are downright fussy. The Word of God learned in our youth will be profitable for us in our old age. Blessings of old age are many. Do you realize that? I'm realizing that more and more. Blessings of old age. I've already told you this. I plan on being around a long time. I don't know just how long that will be. But it will be as long as God wants it to be. And that's all that counts. The concern of my heart is that I continue to grow and that I grow old gracefully, where there's happiness, peace, and contentment, where there's an expanded capacity for enjoying the many details which God provides. Now, anything wrong with details if the details of life do not master us. You can enjoy things in life as long as those individual things do not become your or my master. Also in life, there is an anticipation for the departure from this life, to be with the Lord, accepting what He gives to us, which is dying grace. Job 42:17 says, Job died, an old man, and full of days. I read that with very much interest. Job 42:17, Job died. That's not unusual. I remember some time ago, I wanted to help someone know what the Bible says about death. And I got over there in the 5th chapter of the book of Genesis, and I began to read. And so lived so many years, and he died. And so lived so many years, and he died. And so lived so many years, and he died. Now, tonight, if you want to have a good devotional before you go to sleep, and you want to know about death, go to that 5th chapter of the book of Genesis, and you'll read all those different names, and it will say, he lived so many years, and he died. You're going to die. You didn't want me to say that to you tonight, did you? You didn't come to this service tonight to hear the preacher say that you're going to die. But you know it's true. But you know what? There's great security in God's love and God's grace. There's honor and respect. Proverbs 17:6. Old age is used in the Bible as an analogy for blessings. In Isaiah 46:4. The scripture has to say something about old age in the millennium. In Isaiah 65:20. And Joel 2:28. People often realize that they can profit from the advice of older people. Often people have suffered because of ignoring the advice of older people. God desires that we realize the importance of being sober in our youth, being sober in our adulthood, and being sober in our old age. In Titus 2:2-3, it says, aged men are to the sober, self-disciplined, grave, honorable. That's Titus 2:3. It goes on to say that old age, people who are older, will have an influence upon the younger as temperate. And the word temperate means there, a sound mind. If through the years a person has loved the Lord and diligently studied the Bible, then in the sunset years of life, there is to be an expanded capacity of love for Jesus Christ and a great anticipation and excitement about the time when they'll leave this life. I'm always amazed at the experiences that I have in life. I've had many experiences in life with you folks over the years. It's always interesting to me to see what happens on any particular given day. I never know exactly what's going to happen. I do know that since we started some years ago, the internet, messages going out from the internet, people from around this world are able to hear the messages and even see the preaching of God's Word. I never know what all's taking place, and it's not for me to know. But I do know that there are times when I receive phone calls or messages, and that lets me know that out there somewhere, people are hearing the message. The phone rang today and I received the call. It was from another city, and I'm not going to talk a lot about this other than to tell you that this particular person, I don't know how she found us. I don't know anything about it other than to know that she is making plans to move to Baytown in the near future. And she's interested in a Bible teaching church. You know what I was able to tell her? That's what we are. And I'm not sure just exactly what all will happen in the future. We had some interesting doctrinal comments in my response to her doctrinal comments. And I'll not get into that with you now, but it was quite interesting. Because she specifically asked me some questions. Now, I'm going to share with you one or two of these to let you know that sometimes you may have a phone call and you may have someone saying to you some of the things that people say to me every now and then. One of the questions that I'm asked, not only today, but have been asked in the past, is your church a Spirit-filled church? Now, I want to tell you something. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, I do not know what all is in the mind of the individual who says that and gives out that question. Sometimes I'm aware of the fact that where they're coming from may not be exactly where I have been or where I'm coming from or where I intend to go. Now, if you didn't get that, you'd have to understand. Now, I'm telling you something. This church has an emphasis upon the filling of the Holy Spirit. However, many people have the concept of the filling of the Holy Spirit far different than the concept that you and I hold in relationship to the theological presentation of Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That verb is a present active imperative verb. It's a command for believers to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not some strange, unusual experience that causes people to act silly or, well, I don't need to go on there. I think you understand what I'm saying. There's a command. And the command is to be filled with the Spirit. That's the reason why we spent a few moments before we begin our study. Be sure that our hearts are cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, God has given us then the comprehension, magnificent privilege of learning the Word of God. It's a system by which we learn. We cannot learn God's Word apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. So that's one of the things that oftentimes people ask. And I believe we ought to be ready just to simply tell them Ephesians 5:18 and make an explanation. It's interesting what people say, what people ask, and where they're coming from when they ask these various questions. I don't know whether I should move to the second question or not. Some of you are sitting at edge now, wondering what all is taking place. Different people have different opinions about what this church is all about. I'm sure that you all understand that this is a Bible teaching church. And that's our reason for being here, to study the Word of God exegetically, categorically, and studying it what I call the IS theory, which is called the Heck theory, historically, exegetically, and categorically, which simply means that we come here every time to study God's Word verse by verse. Now, I've taken you in a different direction tonight, but I want you to see that Titus 2:2-3 says, the older folks have a responsibility of helping younger people to be temperate, that's sound mind, to be grave, that's to be honorable, to be sober, that's self-discipline. And if through the years a person has loved the Lord and diligently studied the Bible, then when they come to the sunset years of their life, there's going to be an expanded capacity of love for the Lord Jesus Christ and great anticipation and even excitement about that time when they will move from this life into the presence of the Lord. Someone said, I walked with the Lord for many years, and since I've walked with Him so many years, I feel that I'm closer home to His home than I am to mine. So I'm ready for Him to take me on home. That's been true of some of our loved ones. They've lived their lives, God has blessed, and now, though absent from us, they're at home with the Lord. How fantastic that is. Now you know how old you are and whether or not you're an old person. If you're 60, you already fit that category, folks. If I need to apologize to you, then I do it. But the Bible says when you get 60, you're classified as old. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. The closing moments of our service tonight are for those who hear this message by way of the internet who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. God loves you, and Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for you. How fantastic it is to know that deity too left heaven's glory as the God-man, God of the flesh, the incarnate Christ, for the specific purpose of going to the cross to die for the sins of the world. He was buried. He came forth out of that grave, triumphant over death and hell and sin in the grave. He ascended to sit at the Father's right hand to propitiate, to satisfy the Father. And that's the reason, because He did all of that in our acceptance of His great gift, we have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. And so we pray that there will be those who hear this message who will now, right now, express their confidence and trust and faith in You and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You so very much tonight that we have the assurance of our salvation. It's not because of us, it's because of what You've done for us and our acceptance of that magnificent gift. Bless each person here tonight. You know our individual hearts and needs, and we ask that You will be with each one of us. When we need comfort, we pray that we shall be the recipients of comfort. When we need healing, we pray that we will be the recipients of the healing power of the divine healer. Whatever our needs are, we pray that we will understand that God is not short or slack in any of His promises toward any one of us. He's long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we leave tonight, we have some special guests here. And I want Laura and Milton to turn around and tell us who we have. Will you do that?